And the word of the day is?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Convergence, according to the dictionary, coming together toward a common point. In the world of technology, everything's coming together. Yahoo and TiVo have struck a deal that'll let you choose which shows to record from your browser. Soon you'll be able to pull up Yahoo traffic and weather on the TV. Today, Yahoo also unveils a new cell phone with SBC. It has lots of new internet functions. Not to be outdone, Google today rolls out satellite maps for cell phones. At MIT, they've upgraded their wireless network. You can reach it from anywhere on campus. You can also track everyone else who's using it, and they can track you. From our new innovation desk at WUNC in Chapel Hill, Janet Babin reports.
MIT researchers are convinced that fewer people are working online in the usual places, but they couldn't prove it. So they developed electronic maps that track campus Wi-Fi experiences in real time from stairwell to bathroom. The wall-sized maps are hanging at the MIT Museum, where curator Stephanie Hunt says they prove that a plug in the wall no longer determines where people get things done.
A lot of people are working in spaces that are nice, that are well-designed spaces. They aren't stuffy, dark, depressing computer labs.
While you can see where people are on the network, you can't know who they are unless they volunteer to make it public. Not surprisingly, the maps show wireless users shunning study halls in favor of comfy lounges close to cafes. Researchers predict that same trend will soon overtake the workplace as well. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Union workers at Delphi are so worried about job and wage cuts, they cut their weekend short to have a meeting. It wasn't an official UAW get-together, just rank-and-file members doing some grassroots organizing. Hourly workers at General Motors also showed up. They know they could be next. Delphi, GM's former parts division, filed for bankruptcy last month and is looking at a major labor overhaul. Rumors have been swirling about GM filing Chapter 11, too. The labor higher-ups didn't have anything to do with the meeting, maybe because they have so many other things to worry about right now. Here's Marketplace's Hillary Wickay.
The AFL-CIO is trying to regain its footing after some of its largest unions broke away earlier this year. In Pennsylvania, the organization is rolling up its sleeves and pulling 32 labor councils into just 5 regional federations. Paul Clark is a labor studies professor at Penn State University. He says the plan has been in the works for a long time, but the defection of 7 renegade unions seems to have spurred things on. He says it's a first step to dealing with declining membership.
So what they're trying to do is consolidate the resources they have now so those resources can be used in the most effective way to move forward to face these new challenges.
The AFL-CIO hopes the so-called New Alliance Reorganization Plan will serve as a national model for other states. I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Wall Street's buying in hopes of a year-end rally, but in the end, stocks didn't move that much Friday. The Dow was up 8 points to 10,530. The S&P 500 inched up just a fifth of a point. The Nasdaq climbed 9 to 2169. This is Marketplace. It's Judgment Day in the world of newspapers. The Audit Bureau of Circulations releases its semi-annual numbers. Circulation is expected to drop by at least 2%. But as Andrea Gardner reports, not all the news is bad.
The newspaper industry has been fighting circulation decreases for the past decade, and while the numbers continue to drop, they aren't necessarily dragging down the bottom line. Aram Sinreich from Radar Research says many newspapers have actually seen revenues go up recently.
Newspapers are finding increasing revenues in online advertising, especially when it comes to local advertisers and classified advertising.
Sinreich says in the coming years, more newspapers will shift their focus away from the big national print ads and look to more web advertising. And there are other forces driving the change. The cost of the newsprint is up and energy costs are soaring. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, FannieMae.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patients associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The federal government has set a date for the return of the long bond after a four-year absence. The 30-year Treasury makes its comeback February 9th. The main reason, the growing federal deficit. The government needs the money to cover the hurricane tab, among other things. I asked Newsweek's Alan Sloan why the Treasury stopped issuing the long bond in the first place.
Probably because they were stupid. the reason they said at the time, which was in the fall of 2001, was that they were concerned that government surpluses were going to be so large that they wouldn't be able to sell enough 30-year bonds to have an efficient market, so they stopped selling them. I think the real reason they stopped selling them is that the interest rate on a 30-year bond is higher than the interest rate on a 10-year bond. And if you want to hold down your reported costs, you sell 10-year bonds instead of 30, and that way the interest costs in the federal budget are smaller.
So what is the main argument against bringing this back?
The argument against bringing it back is that it's too expensive for the government. And that's the argument they used to make, including a year ago when it began to dawn on me that they were crazy not to bring it back because interest rates were very low. They were heading higher. And since every corporation in America was borrowing long-term to lock in rates, I thought possibly the government should do the same. But it took the government only a year to figure this out because they're just a little bit slow. So they're bringing it back because we're now borrowing $500, $600 billion a year from the rest of the world, and people want to have options. The argument against doing it is that it would be cheaper to sell three separate sets of 10-year bonds than one set of 30s. On the other hand, if interest rates go where I expect them to be, who knows in 10 years what interest rates will be? So the government finally decided to lock in its rate and stop messing around, and that's what it's doing.
What about the timing? Is there a timing problem with the interest rates?
I think their timing will prove to be awful because almost everything the government does lately is awful. And it may well be that when these securities come out in next February, it may turn out to be the highest interest rate, we'll see for years. I mean, I'm half tempted sight unseen to buy some of these, but that's sort of a joke. Because I figure if I can't outsmart the government, what am I doing for a living?
A lot of people criticize the federal government for not thinking long term, but it sounds like this is a case where the government might be thinking long term.
Yeah, for a change, the government is thinking long term, and every once in a while they get it right. This may be getting it right. I think they're smart to start selling 30-year bonds again. I just wish they had done it earlier.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.